Good morning.
Good morning.
You might detect that my voice is probably a result of flying over 5,000 miles in airplanes. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 20, beginning with verse 17. I have to admit, I normally ask people to stand for the reading of God's word. So you can stand if you want. Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 17. Hear the word of God. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish every one of you, everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourself know that these hands have ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on a part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. And all God's people said,
Amen.
You may be seated. It's very interesting that we've been, as a church, reading through the book of Acts. It's very helpful. Without question, these 18 verses, whatever they are here, there are definitely a very clear post, a marker of a significant matter for people who want to understand Paul's work, his ministry in the book of Acts. I'm sure a lot of you have all read all this, and I'm not going to try to explain that. But these words that we have just listened to and heard mark the end of Paul's itinerant missionary service as he was practicing it. This is at the end of the third missionary trip. And he was headed toward Jerusalem. He had all kinds of plans. He wanted to not only to go to Rome, but also to Spain, and all kinds of things we learned by reading the book of Acts. But this thing that he loved to do, go everywhere, anywhere, in all kinds of towns, with all kinds of people, sharing the gospel as publicly, has come to an end. It doesn't mean he died. He lived a long time after that. But the ministry changed. From then on, he had to minister from prison. And he says, remember my chains and, you know, all that stuff, some of the letters that he wrote. And my dear wife said, you know, he probably touched a lot of people before this, from chapter 13 all the way to here. And he got pretty beat up even doing that. But here, now he's going to be ministering the gospel in chains. All kinds of stuff happened. So if you keep reading, you find it all. But he stopped here, and he asked, he must have sent somebody up 5 miles up to Ephesus, and he wanted those elders to come down because he probably had many, many friends there that would take a long time. You know how people are. And he was hustling, trying to get to Jerusalem before a certain time. And he mentions that in the book of Acts. But what happened is when he got there, and I'm not going to go into this, he was arrested, and then the next chapters of Acts till we get to the end, he is essentially a prisoner. So that's why I say, as far as what's happening in the book of Acts, this is a very marked marker. Paul's ministry now switches from being something he loved to do, an itinerant minister of the gospel, to a prisoner with a very different sort of cast to what he's going to do. It was equally fruitful, perhaps even more fruitful, because he stood before lots of important people, and maybe that would not have been possible in his previous years. I don't know. But I also know in these 18 verses that we just read, probably you could preach, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 sermons from this, and it would be unwise and foolish and futile for me to try to teach this whole thing. So I'm going to leave that to the others here who want to pick this up. I just want to follow the advice of the guys who write books about preaching. I say, a sermon is about one thing. But then come finding that one thing, I found it really challenging. I said, well, Paul must be aware, because God told him, you're never going to see these people again. He must realize Because he had worked for over 3 years there in Ephesus. It was a very important part of his ministry. Even sent his best guy, Timothy, to be the pastor there. And he had spent a lot of, and they must have made lots of friends. They loved them. But now he knows, no, you're never going to see them again. So these words are marked by a lot of emotion. Clear, isn't it? People crying and weeping and kissing and all that stuff. They really understand, wow, we really liked having Paul come around and talk to us and encourage us. And maybe when we were all got wrapped up around the axle, he could help straighten us out. Now he's not going to be doing that. So this is sort of a farewell. And the structure of this passage is, you know, it's kind of a review of how he lived there and how he ministered there. But as I prayed about this and read through the book of Acts a number of times trying to figure out where does this fit, I would say that what's on his heart, the reason why he said these words here to these leaders, these elders who came from Ephesus, was that he had a concern, a very valid concern. He said, I want that work to prosper. There are enemies out there. He uses the word fierce wolves. Fierce wolves will come in among you and not sparing the flock. And he tells them a couple of times, he says, be careful. Pay careful attention. And up here in verse 31, he says, therefore be alert. Why? He fully knows that the enemy of our souls wants to target any church that's doing well for Christ. There's going to be the torpedoes of this wicked mind of Satan to take out people who are trying to push forward the gospel into that part of the world. He knows that full well. He says, well, it isn't automatic that we have a church there that's going to... What about ongoingness? What about sustainability? Maybe some things in these mere verses tell us something. You say, but I hope you tell us what it is. You know, I'm still working on it myself, so you know, you can be telling me. But I would say that Paul is very aware that people need leadership and that the Holy Spirit is involved here. Twice he mentions that. Paul realizes, you know, I know they're kind of dependent on me and all this stuff, but the real agent of change and longevity and solidarity is God himself through the Holy Spirit, right? He does mention this. See, is this important? Well, I think all of us can think that it all depends on us, but very clear, he says... He doesn't say, therefore, I commend you to all your real intelligence and your giftedness. No. He says, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I would say that it's very easy for God's people to think, this is all on my shoulders. I got to really get up early in the morning here to get this done. But it's really God is the main agent in what's going on here. We are servants. Paul says, I am a servant. I'm a slave. I'm serving him. Whatever he wants me to do. And since he is the master strategist of all, he is also the master commander. He knows how to deploy his workers better than all of us put together. Amen? And he is taking Paul out of itinerant work there where Paul loved to go to say, I have a strategic job for you, Paul. Lord, what is it? Imprisonment. Standing trial again and again and again and again. And by the way, Paul, while you're in prison, we're going to provide you with ink and some stuff to write on. It wasn't paper, probably. Vellum or whatever. Because I want you to write some letters. So we get the prison epistles to us. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, all those books were written. You read it, says, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. You say, well, if you that's okay, Neil, it's fine that you're saying this to us. But you know, we're not the Apostle Paul. And we're not even the elders of the Church of Ephesus. They must have been really high quality people. We're kind of ordinary folk here, right? So what's there for us? Is there anything here for us so that as we do the job that God has called us to do, since he's the master strategist, maybe we should be content. What's in here? All right. You say, I hope this is good, Neil. I'm hoping to. But look at verse 1. We start talking, which is, I don't know, halfway through 18. You, he's talking to these elders, and maybe the other guys have journeyed down with him. Who knows? You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time. From the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. As you run through this and read what he is writing here and saying to them, I think it was a very emotional time, pretty clear, that he really loved these people and they loved him, right? The words that are not my words, they actually come from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote the book, Life Together. Paul was reminding them, these leaders, I was there and I never stopped testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. I was with you night and day. For 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. It's kind of easy as we read our lives in comfortable America to forget that that's not just a rhetorical flourish. Ask ourselves, what did he mean when he said, I'm admonishing you with tears? Why that? Why admonishing you with tears? Well, maybe there are a lot of answers to that. But the Lord Jesus Christ bought this flock. What does it say? With his own blood. And you elders, you've been given this task by God, the Holy Spirit, to care for the church of God. And it's easy to just think it's easy peasy, you know. It isn't. It's hard work. And he was admonishing them and teaching them with tears. I think all of us need to ask ourselves, do we ever get to that level of caring, of sharing, of letting other people's lives and their problems affect us? Can we really say when we look to each other here, what happens to you matters to me? Because I think we're deeply affected in the United States with a privatized life, very much isolated from each other. Our culture drives us that way. But I think life together is pretty big to him right here as he's talking to these elders. And I want to share something that actually happened, because I don't think I'm certainly not the Apostle Paul, but I do think that there's something here that I would like to maybe admonish all of us. Would that be all right? All right, here's the story. At Ukurumpa, we were serving with Wycliffe, kind of twice a year they would have sort of a special spiritual emphasis week, and people from all the, whenever could come in from their many different places, and they would have special speakers come and minister to the needs of us. Because even pastors, elders, missionaries, they are also, believe it or not, sheep too that need to be fed, right? We're all fellow strugglers together, really. And this man, I forget his name, but he was well known, came up from Australia. He was an Australian. And he had been at Ukurumpa before for this sort of thing. And he showed up and he said, "Well, I've been here before, it's good to be back." But he said, "I noticed something." We're all listening. What he noticed. "I noticed that," and the word he used was, "television has shown up here on the center of Ukurumpa." What it meant was people brought the television monitor, is that the word? And then they had, what were those things you shove in there? DVD, no, what are those, what are those tape things called that are movies? You can tell how old I am, right? And they would have their favorite football games or programs, and they brought it. And he said, "I see now on Ukurumpa," because he was there before all this arrived. This man was a really wise man and very well known. He said, "I'm going to say that kind of a warning." We're all listening. This television stuff. It comes in like a lamb, but it's a lion. You see, big deal. Big deal. The culture of Ukurumpa changed. We didn't hear his warning well enough. People used to get together and share meals together. Now they're watching a football game or something else on the set. I'm just saying that what I see in these 18 verses is their life was lived together. Our life in Christ is a shared life. And maybe there are times when God waits for us to get in there when we're connected, kind of like in physics they say when you bring uranium-235, too much of it, you can get critical mass and something can happen. Maybe God wants us to live life together so that somehow all the stuff that goes and all the network between all of us, God can show his mighty power. Because the power source isn't him, right? It is not in us. And so I just pray that all of us will take every opportunity we can to connect with each other and celebrate our shared life and not be so individualized. I think God wants to show himself strong in our behalf. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture. And now Paul was such a great example that we could live like he did and know that, Lord, he was here to finish his course, to serve you, to extol you, to help people, to enjoy you and worship you. Help us to be like that, Lord. Now wake us up out of a stupor. Help us to really take advantage of every opportunity to connect with each other in Christ and to serve you with our life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.